Blog Talk Radio.
Clark Hudson, the queen of the empowered soul, and I happen to be your host this morning. Well, do I have a treat for you this morning. And our very special guest this morning is none other than the host of the Wealthy Speaker Show himself, Mr. Paul Lawrence Vann. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Daphne, and how are you doing this morning? Hope all is well with you.
All is well. I'm a bit tired. I was up in Six Flags. I got home after 11 last night, but I'm up, and I'm excited to be spending the next hour with you.
Likewise with me, and I understand exactly what you mean by expending all of that energy, but it's so much fun, isn't it?
Yes, it's just amazing, because you know what I found out? When you're walking in your calling and purpose, every opportunity that appears in front of you to serve, you get extra excited. And you know, Paul, I grew up in Jamaica, West Indies, and there was one thing I always hear the adults say that, you know, oh, you are a jack of all trades, and then they say, you're master of none. But however, I have come to understand that statement is not really accurate to all people, because you are indeed a jack of many trades, but what sets you apart from the others is that you master them all.
That is absolutely correct. And you find it's sort of like when we ran track, we call it running in your lane, being in your lane.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're in our lane, it means that, as we stated, we're in our purpose. So it's what
mm-hmm.
we were born to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's absolutely correct. And I know that's exactly what you're doing with the great work that you're doing with the youth this year.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Paul. And, you know, I just want to remind the listeners that our second guest will not be on this morning. There's an emergency with family members in Jamaica, and she rushed down there. As a matter of fact, she is in the airport as we speak to get on a flight to go into Jamaica. So the one thing I can ask all the listeners under the sound of my voice is to pray for Lorna Owens and her family, that everything will be resolved and that family will be happy, and you know, they won't lose any family members or anything. Just pray for God's will to be done in the situation that she's faced now. And Lorna, when you listen to this episode, we love you, and our prayers are with you. Well, I know for maybe 2.5 years, people has been listening to Paul on the Wealthy Speaker Show. He also have a TV show. And I am not sure how many people know that Paul is a real expert in the area of nonprofit, for establishing them, take you from ground zero way up. He knows how to set them up. He knows how to mentor you and coach you through the process. He also knows how to get you fund. Because, you know, there are a lot of grant writers who write grants, but it's not everybody get them. But Paul Lawrence Vann does it all. with results. So I want to thank him this morning for just volunteering his time to come here and share his expertise with us, because there are a lot of us who are running for profit, and sometimes we don't understand the difference and the different structures and design, and when it comes to the IRS guidelines and all of those, the things that we need to adhere to. And Paul is one of those people who can help you. He's not going to probably tell you all of that this morning, because we are going to be speaking about how to establish it. There are ground rules when you want to create a checklist, where you start. And that's where Mr. Van will be guiding us through that process this morning. So, Paul, I thank you. I thank you so much. So,
well, definitely.
I'm
honored to be here.
Yes. Just in case there is somebody on this call or listening who really don't know who Paul Lawrence Van is, let's tell them a little bit about who you are, Paul.
I'd love to do that, and thank you very much, Daphne. First of all, I want to thank you for inviting me to be the guest on this outstanding show, A New Day Show, and it's one I always talk about primarily because it's a difference-making show, and so I want to thank you, Daphne, for all the great work that you do when you're enhancing the lives of other people. What I want to say in terms of who I am, I'm really a young man who grew up in poverty. I'm one of nine children. I'm the oldest son in a family of nine children. My mom and dad were not able to earn their high school diploma, but they were really taskmasters at really getting my brothers and sisters to understand the importance of education. And what happened is that I ended up being the very first child in my family to graduate from high school, and that came on the heels of my high school guidance counselor telling me that I did not have what it takes to become a successful college student. So that motivation, Daphne, really moved me to excel academically. And I graduated from high school on time and then went to college, Shaw University in Raleigh, North Carolina. And 4 years later, I received academic honors, majored in business. And then at the same day I received my bachelor's degree, I also was commissioned a second lieutenant into the United States Air Force. Served 20 years, worked in the financial area, and then as a part of that, and the reason why I brought that story up about college is that I was poor. We didn't have any money for college. And so I actually applied for grants when I was 17 years old.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Even at
this is what, you know, that was going to be my next question to you, to let the listeners know from what tender age you started pursuing grant money so you could fund your education.
And, absolutely.
You know, this,
and
your statement just led me into that question.
All right. And the interesting thing about it, Daphne, is at the time that this was happening, I was focused primarily on, you know, I want to go to college because I know I'm capable of being a good college student. And in the process, I was actually learning, and I actually had to apply for grants 4 years in a row. It wasn't like a one-time deal. It was throughout college. And then once I joined the Air Force, I worked on contracts for the government, not just a few hundred thousand dollars, but multi-billion-dollar program.
Yep.
Yes. And a contract is a grant. And the only difference between a grant is, let's say, for example, if you went to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they would give you a grant, award you a grant, and that's a contract between your nonprofit organization and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still a contract. And you have, and when you get a contract like that, you have to go out and you have to utilize all those funds for the purpose, express purposes of which your organization functions. And so that's part of what's happening. And the other part of that, just in terms of who I am, I do, in fact, head up a nonprofit titled the Paul Lawrence Van Foundation, and I provide financial literacy to low-income youth to help them become financially fit. And that's kind of what I do. And also work with the governor of Maryland, Governor Martin O'Malley, on working groups for him. So I stay involved, and I volunteer. I'm a volunteer. So being of service and nonprofit is all about strengthening those communities.
Right. Thank you, Paul, because I am excited that you took the time to educate our listeners this morning, and I want to thank the people in the chat room, and just let them know when they have a question to just type it, and I will pass the question on to you. But I want to show them that you're an expert in this area, and I could not think of a better person to have on for this episode other than you, Paul, because you are not only talking the talk, you have slept, live, walk the talk. And you are the best person for us to learn from. So again, I thank you. Where do we begin? We all want to form nonprofits, and we know that there is money out there to be had. However, that money, we need to be cautious when we get it. So we got to start off from the beginning, knowing and doing the right thing. So where do we start, Paul?
I tell you, Daphne, that's a great question. And I want to start out by really focusing in on the word you just used, where do we start? So I'm going to approach this from the standpoint of each individual who's listening and who's on the chat line. And I'm going to start out by saying this. We have to be clear about who we are as a person or as
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And until we know who we are, we'll not be able to render service to the greater community.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is when people typically start out in nonprofits, some people, they give up too fast, Daphne.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm emphasizing this is because I've worked with a lot of people all over the United States, and I've helped them to set up their nonprofit organization. But there were some people that just gave up too quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to caution people that this is nonprofit work is not for the faint of heart.
Exactly, and neither is it something that gives you microwave results. Because
correct.
One of the other things, as someone who worked in a nonprofit organization for many years, as a matter of fact, a couple of them for many years, the one thing I know, after you realize who you are, your next
yes.
focus need to be why you want a nonprofit. What do you want to be doing for somebody else? You know, a lot of people say, oh, there's a lot of money in there and I want my share. Yeah, but what is your share going to do to another person? So we cannot have our wires crossed. Things
That's
have
correct.
To be clearly laid out.
Exactly. And Daphne, I just want to make a point right now of a statement just to show you the power of energy and how it flows.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I are both on the phone, but you stated something that I was just going to say. And,
mm-hmm.
and you said it like this, you have to know what you want. And so my question, and I had actually written this down on my checklist, the best way to succeed at anything, especially in the nonprofit world, is to know what you want.
Exactly.
And you said that without me saying one word.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because,
you know,
as a life coach and empowerment specialist, I work with my clients in having them understand it's really not about you. It's about the rest of the world.
Yes.
And how do you want to enhance the rest of the world? Remove yourself out of the picture. You have to give advantage and add value to others. And it is by doing that that we all excel and succeed. But a lot of people have it turned the other way around. What's in it for me?
Yes, yes. And to be of service is really what being in a nonprofit is all about. You know, just to take it one step further, and it's going to actually reiterate what you just said,
mm-hmm.
is one must decide what area of the nonprofit world they want to be in. For example,
mm-hmm.
we could use a great case. I have five sisters. So
mm-hmm.
if five sisters wanted to start a nonprofit, they could probably start a woman empowerment program as their
That's
nonprofit
right.
to
mm-hmm.
empower women to start their own business, empower women to become CEOs, become entrepreneurs, or you can go with green initiatives. That's a big issue now with solar homes, with cars, with transportation,
mm-hmm.
with our carbon footprint, how we use things, garbage, how do we use plastics and everything. So green initiatives is big. Youth development, of course, so that's the area in which my nonprofit fits in. Helping youth to become, because they're going to be our leaders of tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
We can also look at senior care. We know for a fact, Daphne, that the baby boomers are now going into retirement and at record numbers, and that was such a large population of baby boomers that some of them, even with the economy, are still going to retire and will need medical services.
That's right.
So senior care is another huge, huge area. And, of course, we know what's happening with the current real estate market that affordable housing is one of the top priorities after people eating. So food pantries is number one, and then number two is affordable housing. And then to get people back into the market to create jobs, they need life skills.
Mm-hmm.
So life skills can be another functional area in which people can identify if they decide to get involved in the nonprofit world. So those are just some elements or some areas of focus that people can actually go into.
Right. So what I just heard you say, Paul, even before you sit with a consultant, there are certain things on that checklist that you need to do before you sit with that consultant, because you cannot be sitting with the consultant when you're going to be paying that consultant fee, and that's the time you're going to try to figure out what kind you want to go into.
That's right.
You need to do that research, do that homework, and you figure it out and see, well, this is what match who I am. This is where my passion and my excitement is. After you have that clear, then you call the consultant up and you sit with them now to start the implementation of your nonprofit.
That's absolutely correct, Daphne, and I'm going to be hiring you on as staff because you explained it exactly right. So thank you very much.
You are very welcome. So now that we have done all of that, we already identify where we want to spend the rest of our lives.
Yes. Yes.
Now we call up the consultant, who is Paul Lawrence Vann, and we are sitting with him, either on the phone, because I have to let the people know that you have clients nationwide.
Yes,
it's not
nationwide.
Only in Maryland. So God bless technology, because on the phone we can do all the work. So now we're sitting at our initial meeting to start the implementation of our nonprofit.
Yes, and I'll take everyone there. So. Okay, everyone who's listening or who will listen on the archive and who are on the chat line right now, we're sitting at the table in a conference room. Let's imagine that we were sitting in the Ritz-Carlton, and we're gonna hold this meeting. I'm your consultant. You've hired me to help you establish your nonprofit. One of the first things that I'm going to look at goes, again, directly back to what Daphne was saying. I want to know just how passionate you are, because without passion, you can't do this work, and I don't want to try to discourage anyone. Mm-hmm. I'm just being realistic about it. You have to really be passionate about this, and the word that's often used, Daphne, is having the burning desire.
Yeah, because this is not for everyone.
It's not for everyone, and I liken it until something I read in a book the other day about you have to want this like you want food, and I'm a big-time food eater and cooker as well.
Good food.
Yes. But I approach the nonprofit world the same way, where I'm hungry.
That's right.
And so I tell people you have to be passionate about. But let's move forward, as you stated, Daphne. And one of the things that I look at is you must operate your nonprofit on purpose. And what's your nonprofit going to do? Is it your passion? Your purpose? Because if it's not, it won't work. You have to get in your lanes, as I was explaining earlier. Mm-hmm. If you're going to complete that race, you have to be in a lane that you know that it's going to be advantageous for you. For example, when we start to look at is it your purpose to have a women empowerment program? Is it your purpose to have youth development? And so I want to know, because that's going to go into the number one thing we're going to talk about right now, is the mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
What is your mission statement for your nonprofit? And that's going to tie directly into what part of the nonprofit world you're going to be in. For example, I use mine, the Paul Lawrence Vann Foundation, which is financial literacy. And my tagline goes, when it comes to financial literacy, everyone counts.
Mm-hmm.
You see? But my mission statement is to deliver expert financial literacy to low-income youth to
mm-hmm.
help them to become financially fit.
That's
and what I want, yes, and what I want people to take from that title is very, very general in nature, because if I said if I wanted all the youth in Washington, D.C., I would be limited to the grants I could apply for just in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
But with having that title, I provide financial literacy for low-income youth.
Mm-hmm.
I can receive grants from anywhere in the country or anywhere in the world.
That's right.
So that
That's
mission
right.
statement must tie directly to what your the lane that you're going to be in, whether it's
mm-hmm.
green initiatives, whether it's youth development, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely something that I want people to really understand. And then the next thing that I want people to look at is this, and this typically runs people away. This is typically going to involve the board of directors. Typically, when I tell people about the board of directors, they tend to kind of shy away. They shy away because they don't understand the process of a board of directors. They're thinking in terms of a Fortune 500 company, but it's not a Fortune 500 company. What they should look at is who is going to lead the nonprofit.
That's right. Who is going to hold you accountable.
Yes.
Somebody
and
has to hold you accountable.
Someone has to hold the executive director accountable. So when we look at what the board of directors consists of, what it made of, the composition, you're going to have a president of the board or a chairman of the board. You can have a secretary, and you're going to have a treasurer. Those are the three minimum people that you should have. And then you can also have a vice president if you so choose. And then that the board of directors are going to be the people that hires the executive director, and the executive director carries out that mission statement
mm-hmm.
for the nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the board of directors, well, actually the executive director works for the board of directors. They
that's right.
hire the people. So
that's
part of that checklist too.
And you know something, Paul? I am so
yes.
glad that you break this down the way you did, because for the simple reason that the executive director works for the board of directors, that's why a lot of people pack it in, because that's not their intention.
That's correct.
And this is why this needs to be made clear to you. You're not
right.
in there again to be getting the grant money to do as you will.
That's
you
correct.
Are a hired staff, even though this was your vision.
Sure, that's
you,
right.
You become
and
a hired staff in which to implement the programs.
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, one of the great things about the board of directors is that they provide leadership oversight for the nonprofit. But the greater role and why it's important to select good people for your board of directors is because the board of directors are going to act in the capacity of your major fundraisers.
Mm-hmm.
They're people that know how to go out and get money,
mm-hmm.
grant money, get donors,
mm-hmm.
go out and obtain like-kind services. For example, you may just decide, hey, we need to fly to a conference. Maybe we can call Southwest Airlines and they can fly us out there gratis where we don't
mm-hmm.
have to pay for it.
Or
they receive sponsorship. And so the capacity in that leadership role is very critical. And I go back to what you were saying earlier, Daphne, about working with people. I've worked with people from Detroit, Michigan, out in California, near San Jose, California, and Arizona, here in Maryland, some in North Carolina, so all over the country. And different people, and they want to get their programs going. And typically when people come to me, again, I focus on what is the vision. And I let them know that when you start a nonprofit, you have to start with the end in mind, you know,
exactly.
just like biblically.
Exactly. And based on my involvement, I mentioned earlier on that I was employed with and worked for many years in two nonprofit organizations. Your board of directors is a very powerful part of that organization, because funders look on who they are.
Yes.
And if they like the commitment of your board of directors and they like the history mm-hmm. and the story that your board of directors come, you
and
don't have to worry, because you're going to be getting the money. You should
exactly.
also invite people who are passionate about your vision.
Yes.
And is willing to invest in you.
That's right. And one of the great things about what you just said, Daphne, is the fact that you can also get a member of Congress to be on your board.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they necessarily have to be there for every meeting, but
mm-hmm.
if they really like what's happening in their community as part of their district, for example,
mm-hmm.
it might be, let's say, the District 4 where I live at here in Maryland,
mm-hmm.
and they like it, they can sign on the board. And, of course, that automatically draws people to say, well, if the member of Congress, the member of the House of Representatives, if they are on the board, then it must be good.
It must be serving its purpose.
Exactly.
Serving your purpose, you know?
That's right. And that's why I tell everyone, I was talking to someone recently about starting a nonprofit. She was wanted to consult with me, but she hadn't made her mind up yet. And I started talking about the board of directors. And she started to think that, well, I don't know anyone. I said, well, it goes back to exactly what you said, Daphne. Is there someone you know that has the same level of passion towards this
mm-hmm.
nonprofit you're trying to start?
Mm-hmm.
And typically, the people on the board of directors do have the passion similar to yours, and that's why
right.
you pick them.
That's right. And
yeah.
how can you be thinking of doing a nonprofit and you don't know anyone?
Right.
You know, you should
yeah.
probably start a deli.
Yes.
Then you start build a clientele.
Yes,
and after you have a successful deli, then you could probably consider going a nonprofit because people have their stuff backwards.
Right. You have to look at the end in mind
right.
and then work your way back because
mm-hmm.
you have to look at your goal. And when we look at the goal, we have to say, okay, 5 years from now, what do I want this nonprofit to be doing?
That's
well, the
right.
number one thing you want it to be doing is to be sustainable, which means you're receiving enough grant funding
mm-hmm.
from the federal, state,
mm-hmm.
and local level and enough donations and from your fundraisers to be able to help you to sustain that nonprofit because it is going to strengthen the community in which you live.
That's right. And so long as you have documentation of your different benchmarks of success and accomplishments, you don't have to worry about the funding, you know, because if you're doing what you have to do for the people or for the community, man, you'll be surprised that funders come knocking at your door. And
that's
you
right.
say, oh, my God, I didn't expect this to happen. But they want a piece of the action when the action is right.
They sure do. They sure do because it really makes everyone look good. But in the end, the constituents are the people you're serving. For example, our state, I'm serving low to moderate income youth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the key objective, the end result, is to ensure that they become financially literate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I back myself into that situation from the beginning. That's why I didn't start out with these key things that people need that I'm about to get into now.
Yeah, but
and now,
before you do that, Paul, you
sure.
said something
okay.
now about the population, the demographic
yes.
that you serve. You
That's
know,
correct.
This past Saturday, I went into a local store here and I bumped into a woman that I had met at an event 3 years ago. And she's a magistrate, and she has two small kids.
Right.
And the kid wanted something for a dollar, and she said, I'll get it for you, but I'm going to take it out of your allowance.
Uh-huh.
The boy is 7. His sister is 3. And the sister has learned that when the brother does not make his bed, if she makes his bed, his allowance is less and she gets the extra.
Right.
But she keeps watching, and when his bed is not made, she goes in and she makes the bed because
uh-huh.
she knows it's extra money for her. But the other thing the mother pointed out to me, she said, Daphne, I tell my kids, when I give you allowance, you need to check your money behind me because, she said, I might cheat you. You never know. When it comes to your money, trust no one. Always check behind people. And I thought that was such a powerful statement because if we start them from early how to manage their finances, and it's not even that you doubt people, but you check, double check to make sure what you're handed is correct, they would grow up into responsible adults. Because it is such a challenge now to get even a lot of adults to balance their checkbooks.
That's a great observation there because it's the same. It can be very similar to business.
Yes.
You
yes.
see, as a nonprofit, being observant, looking at the market, looking at the demographics, and most importantly, and this is what I'm going to look at, what that young girl was doing.
Mm-hmm.
She saw a problem, and the problem was the brother's not fixing the bed, and
so
she found a solution.
Mm-hmm. I made it. That's right.
Yeah. That's exactly what the nonprofit world is. We're problem solvers. You look for the problems in the community, and I like to say find the worst of worst problems and then find a solution for it, and you'll get the donors coming in.
That's right, because where the most money is going to come in.
That's where it's going to
come
in. Sure. Let's say, for example, if there's a gang violence in a community, there's safety issues in a community, there's poverty in a community. We know that people have lost their jobs, they've lost their homes, so people are going to homeless shelters. So a food pantry would be one of the number ones out there because the food industry is the largest industry in the world, so it
mm-hmm.
makes sense that that's one that people would go into, and that's where the money is being given now. Most of the money has been given to food pantries.
That's
because
right.
people can't eat.
That's right. Paul, I want to just remind the listeners that they can call in with their questions, and the number to call is 646-915-8166. And if you're in the chat room, you can type your question for Mr. Van, and I'll pass that on to him. So please utilize the time, and I want to let you know, Paul, we have 28 minutes remaining in your episodes.
Will do, and if it's okay with you, we can start stepping into what documentation is needed to get started.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Daphne. And as I was stating before, and we've discussed, Daphne, you start with the end in mind. So
mm-hmm.
you start at the end. The goal 5 years from now is to have a sustainable nonprofit organization, for example, like mine, to deliver financial literacy to low-income youth so they can learn to become financially fit. So now I'm going to work back. Now, I need to, first of all, I have my board of directors set up, so I want people to write that down on a checklist.
Uh-huh.
We have the mission statement, and we also know what industry, what part of the nonprofit world we're going to be in. We're going to be in youth, green initiatives, et cetera. And then we have our board of directors, and they're going to be people who have the capability and capacity to raise funds. And then they're going to hire an executive director to manage the nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And the executive director will also be on the leading edge and the cutting edge of raising funds because that's part of it. And the executive director will manage the staff, the assistant that they will have, project managers, program managers, and other expert volunteers that they bring on as well. Now, the first part of documentation that's needed is, first of all, what are we going to name this nonprofit organization? So
mm-hmm.
that's one of the first things as far as the paperwork is concerned. So one would have to go to their state or the local county they happen to be in and file a name of their nonprofit. And with all the paperwork we're talking about, you have to ensure that you're stating it's going to be a nonprofit organization or 501c3, whatever it may be. The next thing that they would have to do, of course, is to get a tax ID number.
Uh-huh.
Because you can't do anything without that tax ID number.
Uh-huh.
The next thing they're going to have to do is get that nonprofit, get it put into the form of a corporation.
Uh-huh.
And that's a non-stock corporation because if you go for stock, that means it's a for-profit. So you have to make sure it's nonprofit. And then what would have to do is file that paperwork. Then they would file this document for tax-exempt status with Internal Revenue Service. And the reason why I started out talking about the board of directors is because that's the most critical part of filling out that tax-exempt status sheet. You're going to have all the members of the board of directors on there, the phone numbers, and the mailing addresses.
Mm-hmm.
Because the IRS is going to monitor it to make sure everything is fine. It's going to have a website. You're going to have a website as well. And then at this point, let's say how long would this take? And I tell everyone it depends on the Internal Revenue Service's schedule. And what does that mean? It means that the IRS receives hundreds of thousands of applications for nonprofit organizations who want tax-exempt status. And so they get backlogged, and it varies. It could take a month. It could take 2 months. It could take 2 weeks. It just simply depends on who is the case manager and if all the documentation is clear, it has clarity, there's no, you don't want any typos on it, and if they call you, you want to respond to them as quick as possible.
Paul, can I ask a question?
Sure.
What you just said is accurate, but isn't that one of the reasons why we should all focus on using a professional in this area? Because one of the other thing I know, too, other than just the documentation, relationships are important in these things, and that can expedite the process of our filing as well. Am I accurate in saying that?
You are more than accurate in saying that, and what I'm going to do to follow up on that is to let people know that when you're working with a consultant, let's use myself for example, I do all of this for people, and I have people on my staff that do it for people so they don't have to be bothered with this.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing it since the age of 17. That's a long time.
Anybody who knows to do it is you.
Right. Yes, I've been doing it for a long time. I guess you could say that's 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at a lot of people are just overwhelmed with paperwork. I had one lady here locally in Maryland. She went through my grant training program, and she said, you know, I can do all of this except I just don't like dealing with paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, when you're working with me, you're not working with paperwork. All I do is provide you everything that you need. You sign it. You read it. I tell you what everything is, and you mail it in.
Because
you as the individual, the person who's going to actually lead the nonprofit, still have to put your signature on it. I get everything ready for them.
That's right.
And I have a checklist. There's more than this, but I'm just giving people, you know, the broad brush so that they can get an idea.
Yes,
the basic. But I would say hire someone, get a consultant, and bring them in to do this for you. It would save you a lot of time, and you get it done quicker. And so people say, well, you know, I can do this myself. And my response to them is, if you could do it yourself, you wouldn't be talking to me.
That's right.
Because,
you know, a lot of people, what they say, you pinch the pennies and then you lose the millions.
Yes.
And a lot of people, they're going to sit down and frustrate themselves. And to every time they have to send your paperwork back to you, it goes to the bottom of the pile.
Yes.
So you probably end up losing 24 to 18 months trying to figure out your paperwork.
That's absolutely correct.
Then there are people out there who are waiting to be served.
That's absolutely right. So the people who are hurt the most is the constituents in which
mm-hmm.
you're trying to serve.
Mm-hmm.
You already have identified the problem,
mm-hmm.
and it's up to you to come up with a solution. And part of that solution is getting up and operating as soon as possible. And that's really my number one objective when I work with people is to get them set up, get them established, get them going in the right direction as fast as possible, so then they can start applying for the grant money and setting up for donations and donors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where most people get tripped is with this initial paperwork.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's where most of them get tripped up at.
Paul, we have 21 minutes remaining. Would you please at this time tell the people how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. Yes, people can get in touch with me. I'll provide my email address. That's paul@paullawrencevan.com. And that's paul@paullawrencevan.com. By phone, I can be reached at area code 240-416-5077. And to learn more about me, you can go to www.paullawrencevan.com. And with that contact information, you'll be able to get me in all three or one or the other.
All right.
Yes.
So I thank you for providing that information. And I also want to remind the listeners that even though we are not going to have Lorna on, we are going to spend that time. You can let me know what problems you are faced with in your nonprofit, your entrepreneurial business or small business, and I'll compile a list of that, and in the upcoming weeks you can look forward to having an expert to help you solve that problem. So don't be going anywhere when Paul leaves, because I'm going to be here spending that quality time with you. All right, Paul. So
yeah.
Now we have our documentation, and we have the name, we have the board of directors, mission statement, and all of that. What next?
What's next? First of all, the next step is to get as much publicity as possible, because people, you can't help people if they don't know that you exist, and you can't serve those clients unless people are aware of them. So there are ways that you can go about receiving free publicity.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're not, let's say an organization just put their paperwork in for tax-exempt status, they haven't received their letter back, their confirmation letter back from the IRS, but you can still advertise that you are a nonprofit. You can go to the local newspapers, and they will list your nonprofit free of charge.
Mm-hmm.
Television stations, you can go on television letting people know what your particular nonprofit is all about. They can bring you on an interview. That's one of the reasons, Daphne, why I'm brought on Channel 9 here in Washington, D.C. every month, because they know I have a nonprofit and I can talk to financial issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you have to get it to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
I also had the local newspaper. I contacted a staff writer, and they came out and they interviewed me, and they talked about it. And if I had put an ad in the paper, that ad would have cost me about $850.
That's right, and they wouldn't necessarily follow up from your ad. But what happened with free publicity, you
yes.
have to understand the power of always be involved in newsworthy projects or activities, because
Excellent.
The media is hungry for that.
They're always looking for it. And what people can do, too, is with social networking now, social media now, with
mm-hmm.
Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, MySpace. Well, right there, you can actually do your own marketing, your own branding of your nonprofit. And then you can also find your target market on these social networking sites as well, because there are groups out there that also just concentrate and focus in the area of nonprofits. So it takes you from being local to state to what we call regional, nationally, and then, of course, internationally, because the social media covers every plane if people have access to it.
That's right. So
you don't have to operate in a vacuum anymore. It's just a wide open where you can create your own brand any hour of the day that you want to. In fact, Daphne, prior to coming on this call, I was on Twitter, Twirl, Facebook, and everywhere else promoting this show, because I think it's going to add so much value to people. Yes.
Paul, I want to just piggyback with 16 minutes remaining.
Sure.
I want to piggyback on the show, your weekly show in Washington that you are visiting. What kind
yeah.
of a visibility has it presented both to your career and to your nonprofit? Just so that the listeners and the people in the chat room get an understanding.
Well, what it has done, and I think that's a great question, and just using it and looking at it from the nonprofit standpoint, and receiving that free publicity once a month on a national news network, which is headed by CBS, Broadcasting and WUSA television, what it has done is made me a local celebrity. That's what
mm-hmm.
it's done. Because
mm-hmm.
where else are you going to get publicity? People know it's very difficult at times to get on TV because you have to know someone. But I was referred to them through some work I was doing as a volunteer.
That's right.
And I came on the show, and one of the things that they want you to do is to answer calls from people in, let's say, the metropolitan Washington, D.C. area, which in a 90-mile radius is probably 7 to 8 million people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're receiving that type of exposure, people calling in, you're answering their questions, and they have you come back every month. And then what happened after that? Well, people know more about my nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
I partner and collaborate with other nonprofits,
mm-hmm.
partner with the state of Maryland, for example, by working with the governor. of the state as a volunteer. So I learn about things other people would never know about because they're not sitting in the meetings.
That's right.
And I'm meeting members of the legislature for the state of Maryland with General Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you that all of that becomes media. And then the radio shows. I do a lot of radio shows both nationally and internationally. And so it all comes together. And
that's
you have
right.
to be and you have to be your own, in many ways, your own marketing, do your own marketing, but you do that through your passion.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I asked that question because I wanted our listeners to understand the importance of giving back. When
yes.
you give back and invest in your community, you never know the reward and the compensation that you will get. What you get is something that you could not write a check for because you wouldn't be able to have the cash flow to do that. So keep investing in your community. Keep giving back because it is worth it because you
yes.
end up receiving so much more than you give.
Yes, and we can use in that same vein, you get what you give.
That's right.
You get
That's
what
right.
you give. And
That's
if you
right.
give a lot of yourself, of your time, of your expertise, it comes back to you 1,000 times because who else would have known about the Paul Lawrence Vann Foundation if I had not put myself out there to
That's
help
right.
other people along the way?
That's
now, I've worked on and collaborated with 20, 30 other nonprofits, and sometimes they work, the collaboration works, and other times they don't. A lot of it depends on who's leading the collaboration.
Exactly.
And when you find yourself in a collaboration and the people who are heading up that collaboration are taking, then it's time to step away from that.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some collaborations that don't work, but then there are others that do.
And the other thing, people, Paul, when people are thinking of entering into a collaboration, one of the first things that they need to understand, the minute they put their hand on that lock to open the door to enter, they need to check their egos at the door.
Yes.
Because a lot of collaborations don't work because people have bigger and taller ego than the next person, and nobody is willing to set their egos aside for the benefit of the organization. So I always tell people, check your ego at the door before you pull the door open. Because if you take it in there, it's going to create problems.
That's a great point. And we had an African-American bookstore here in Maryland, D.C., and they even had a store in New York. And, you know, the interesting thing about it is the two co-owners could not come to terms in regards to expanding the bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this bookstore, I would be able to host book signings there.
Mm-hmm.
I would go to Congressional Black Caucus with events. And because of their egos, the business went under because they could not agree to go
mm-hmm.
forward. And they forgot about the constituents. And now they're
That's
out
right.
of business.
That's right. You know, it's a shame because it's the people in our demographics. They are the ones who suffer. They pay the price
right.
every
the
time.
The constituents pay the price.
That's
and
right.
Something so beautiful can go so wrong.
Yes.
But, you know, even in a nonprofit, when one actually establishes their nonprofit, you have to really be particular about your board of directors because the board can also vote you off even though you founded it, and you mentioned
exactly.
that earlier.
That's right. Hello. Hello.
So you have to.
So that's
you
what
have
you
to,
got to know.
Mm-hmm. You have to know who you're dealing with because
that's right.
It's your vision and it's your mission statement, but a board, you get the wrong board members on. Typically, you know you have the wrong board members when they ask you, how much will I get paid?
That's right. So you're
and I've had people ask me that.
So,
I've had people ask me that. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, don't you see that the youth need some leadership and need to be developed? And
mm-hmm.
is this going to be a showstopper for you, a game changer for you?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, I need to know how much you're going to pay me. I said, well, to be honest with them, I'm not going to pay you anything.
That's
I said,
right.
if you're not a person of service, then you're not the right person for
you're
that.
Not person for there because when you have the wrong board and
right.
you're doing the wrong thing, that's a recipe for problems. Paul,
yeah.
We have 10 minutes remaining.
Sure. I have a point for you.
Yeah. Would you please gather your summary thoughts, please?
Well, one of the things I did want to say, Daphne, just for people, just as a sidebar,
mm-hmm.
We all know what has happened with Bernie Madoff.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of nonprofits that invested all of their monies, all of their mm-hmm. donations and all their grant money to receive a higher return on their mm-hmm. quote-unquote investment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to caution people that if you're going to take your grant money and just invest it in all in one company, and the key words here are if it sounds too good to be true, it is,
mm-hmm.
it's to be cautious mm-hmm. in terms of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were a lot of organizations in New York and other parts of this country that have actually gone out of business, which means the constituents they were serving are no longer being served.
That's
because
right.
greed took
greed,
took
and
a,
nobody wanted to ask any
right.
questions.
Correct.
No
one wanted to ask any
questions. Questions were made to be asked, so ask them.
Correct.
Yes. So
I wanted to pass it on.
You have 9 minutes.
Okay.
For your closing thoughts, please, sir.
Outstanding. You know, Daphne, I do appreciate, again, you giving me this opportunity. What I want to say to everyone who's listening, who will listen, and those in the chat room is this. You just have to know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds simple, but the bottom line is you have to know what you want, because once you know what you want, you're going to focus all of your thoughts on what you want your nonprofit to be. And I'm just talking on nonprofit. And
mm-hmm.
then put it in your mind and then write it down. Write down your goal. What do you want your goal to be? 5 years from now, what do you want your nonprofit to be doing? Is it going to be sustainable? You know, some grant funding that people receive is 1 or 2 year funding. What are you going to do if you don't receive that money?
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at those donors. You have to cultivate those relationships. You let the member of Congress, you're not supposed to lobby Congress, so how do you get around that? What you do to get around that is that you want to educate your member of Congress, your senator, and let them know, I'm in your community, I voted for you, this is the nonprofit organization that's operating in your community, and I think it's worthy of you being knowledgeable about it. And I think that's very important, and a lot of people don't think in those terms, but you have to think in those terms. Because that's what's going to move the nonprofit forward. And you have to be a catalyst for your own change.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by being a catalyst for your own change is that you have to know that you know that you know that
mm-hmm.
this is what your purpose is. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Daphne, you and I have talked about it so many times with
mm-hmm.
Dr. Miles Monroe and the impact it's had on me.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're doing your passion, it means you're doing what you were born to do.
Mm-hmm.
So for many people, their nonprofit is what they were born to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it helps other people.
That's right.
And that's what this is about. You know, we had an interview. I did a radio show a week ago talking about a teleseminar that I was hosting.
Mm-hmm.
And the individual in the chat room just felt as if it was about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to really let them know that, no, this nonprofit, this teleseminar is not about me. It's about helping other people. It's about enhancing the lives of others. And so a person who is supposed to be intelligent and they're listening to this conversation and they automatically assume, oh, it's all about you. And I'm saying, no, it's not. And I think you have it wrong. And they did have it wrong because I know that what I do, I'm volunteering working for a governor of state of Maryland. They're not paying me one penny, not for gas, not for food, not for time, more importantly, time.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm giving service back to my community and strengthening it.
That's right. But, Paul, mm-hmm. I want to just mention something here that you mentioned about not being able to lobby Congress.
Yes.
And that
yes.
is accurate. But you know something? When you are visible in the community and you're giving back and you're keeping busy in the community, there's no need for lobbying them because they know about you and they're going to come to you.
Right.
They will approach you about the things you are doing. So this is why we have to strategically position ourselves in order to get the result that we want.
And guess who the greatest cheerleaders are? It's those constituents that you're serving.
That's right.
So when you go to the meeting, you set up a meeting with the member of Congress or the senator, whoever it may be, you take some of those constituents with you. You pack your car up, you get a minivan, whatever you're traveling, the bus, train, whatever, and you take six or seven of them with you to their office, and trust me, they'll never forget who you are.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
I know some people are just joining the chat room. I want to welcome you, and I don't know if you have any questions for Paul. If you have any questions, you can type it in the chat room, and I'm sure I know he has to get off to some other place, but knowing who he is, he'll take some time to answer your questions. So if you have a question for Paul, please type it. And if you're just joining us in the chat room, I want to remind you that Lorna will not be on, but I'll be staying on to kind of develop a list of some of the challenges that you're faced with in your nonprofit or you're being an entrepreneur, a small business owner. And in the upcoming weeks, we are going to have people on to address them. So thanks for allowing me to just interject with that, Paul. Yes,
sure,
you can continue, please.
Okay, will do. And you know, my some of my parting words to people is this. First of all, I'm going to kind of do a cursory review. Be clear about who you are as a person. If you're a person of service, be that. I know that we're all born and we have greatness on the inside, but I want people to really focus on being clear about exactly what they want to achieve with their nonprofit. And then I also want you to succeed in the nonprofit world by knowing what your lane is. Is your lane empowering women? Is your lane youth development? Is it affordable housing? What is your lane? Know what your lane is. The next thing is that you have to be passionate. You have to be the greatest cheerleader. In other words, when you walk into the room, everyone can point to you and say, Daphne, I know that your nonprofit is all about women empowerment, period. In a discussion, they know because you're so passionate about it because everything you do exudes that passion. And then the next thing is to look at your board of directors and ensure that they have the capacity and the ability and the willingness to want to also find donors who are going to contribute to the nonprofit and that they have the type of leadership that's going to allow the nonprofit to thrive and to hire a really exceptional executive director who knows how to manage the nonprofit and the staff that's associated with the nonprofit that you set up. And then then what you have to do is get the paperwork in. So we went looking, starting with the ending in mind, going back. Now we get the name of the nonprofit. We set up the incorporation. We get the tax identification number. We file the tax-exempt status documentation, send that to the IRS, and then we start applying for grants, holding fundraisers, and, of course, at this point, we definitely want to ensure that we're building collaborations all along the way. And the quickest way to do that is to get on TV, get on the radio, get in the local print media, and talk about why your nonprofit is making a difference and strengthening the community. And people can call on me if they want to. Another number people can reach me at is area code 240, area code 416, and 5077. And if you want to talk about it and get it set up. But if you want to do that, the only thing I ask is that take the headache out of your hands by letting me and my staff get you set up and established as a nonprofit. Because you can spin your wheels and spin your wheels, but sometimes you just won't get out of that mud. And that's part of what I do is help people move forward and get established as quick as possible.
Would you repeat that last phone number, 240?
Sure. Area code 240-416-5077.
5077.
Seven.
Okay,
and they
I want
can...
to put it because people who come to the chat room later on will still have that information.
Exactly.
So I want to thank you, Paul, for so eloquently educating us this morning, and this gave us a clear picture of our duties prior to sitting before a consultant to say we want to start a nonprofit. And the
That's
one
correct.
Thing we want to know is that have people understand that nonprofit is not for everyone, and
That's
it's
correct.
Not a good or a bad. But whatever you're going to get involved in, we want to make sure that it's the right thing for you, because you don't need to be burnt out. So you might as well just get into something that you have fun doing.
That's right, exactly.
You know? So once you have fun, you enjoy it, and you're touching lives, then you know the money is going to come. But if we're just doing it for the money, then
it won't work.
It does not going to work. You already lose before you begin.
Exactly.
So you have one closing word before you check on out of here, my brother?
Yes, Daphne, and it's this. Thank you again for being such a gracious host. It was just a great experience for me to talk about grants, and I'm here to serve people, help people, to take that paperwork off of them, that load. They know where they can reach me. I look forward to coming on again to talk about even more. So thank you very much, and I wish everyone a wonderful day. And just make sure you keep your checklist and just check each item off, and you'll be there in no time flat, and I'll help you get there.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Paul. Thank you,
okay.
And you keep doing all the wonderful things that you are doing. Just have a blessed day, my brother. Bye-bye.
You too, Daphne. Have a great day. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, I want to thank the people in the chat room, and Lorna Owens was supposed to be joining us at the for this episode. Unfortunately, she has a family emergency, and she took off to Jamaica, West Indies this morning to attend to that. So in the coming weeks, as soon as that thing has subsided or resolved, we will have Lorna back on. So if you have a question or an issue, that you have been faced with in getting your small business to move or your nonprofit to move ahead the way you want to, I want to spend this the next 58 minutes in just developing a list that we can have experts come on the show in the upcoming weeks, just like I had Paul on this morning, speaking on the basics of setting up our nonprofit. I want to, Coach Kay, thank you for joining. Lorna will not be on this morning because, as I mentioned in a few minutes ago, that she has a family emergency that she is out in Jamaica taking care of. So what I decide we'll spend the next hour doing is, if anyone has a challenge that they are faced with, I want to start developing a list that I will get expert guests on in the upcoming episodes to address those things. And the number to call the show is 646-915-8166. Or if you can type it in the chat room. So, Coach K, I thank you for joining us this morning. And for the others in the chat room, I want to thank you. And I know each of us, we are faced with different issues that is preventing something from happening the way that God ordains it to happen, and which prevents our growth. And there are lots of people out there who can help us solve these issues or give us tools which will help us to work around these things. So I don't know, Coach K, whether there's anything. I know you yourself is an expert in the things that you do, but I don't know if there's any insight that you have that you want to pass on, or any burning desire that you would like to see me have a guest address on the show. And I don't know whether you want to call in to say that or you want to type it in the chat room, but We are going to be spending the next 55 minutes together. I figure people would be joining on, so instead of them just not knowing why Lorna isn't here, I decide I'll spend the rest of the time in dialogue with you, my listeners, and the people in the chat room, because I greatly, greatly appreciate you. And we also want to have Lorna back on. Yes, social media. Okay, we had maybe 9 weeks or so. We had a gentleman on Coach K by the name of Sean Robinson. So if you go back over my on-demand episode and look for the one that has Sean Robinson on, he did a powerful show on social media and on how to build Twitter and how to convert those into an income potential. So you could always shoot me an email if that did not fill all your needs, but I am putting it on the list that social media, we could have someone to address that. So I have it on the list, my brother, because social media is such a powerful thing right now as it stands, because what that does, it helps us to connect globally with all the many people that we would not normally get in contact with. You know, I know that I have on my social media, on my Twitter, and my Facebook, on my LinkedIn, I have people from Germany, Canada, Australia, Caribbean countries, all over the world. And, you know, all I can pray for is that each day in whatever task I am performing is that it allows me to add value to each of those people in my social network. Because this is what I am set out to do, to add value and to serve everyone that comes into my path. Because if I'm not doing that, that means, as Paul just said on the show, I'm not in my lane. And I want to remain in the lane that God showed me that I need to be in, and to serve his people and to make a difference in their lives and to add value. So each and every week when I come here on the radio show or I do my cable show, that is what I'm set out to do, to serve each and every one of you and to make a difference. You know, with everything that's going on, and I tell everyone I'm not participating in the recession. So I just know that when all of this is over, I will have an amazing story, because I am repositioning myself and I am focusing on diversifying the things I do. And in my capacity as a life coach, inspirational speaker, empowerment specialist, and servant, there are so many opportunities for me to touch lives and to just encourage people to find their purpose and their passion in life. You know, I worship at Faith Church in New Milford, and I've been there for maybe nine. I think this is going to be my 10th year. And I am blessed to be one of the small group leaders, and I teach a group called In Pursuit of Purpose. And this last class that concluded maybe 3 weeks ago one of the lady in the class came back sharing with the group that, you know, she could not believe that since she started taking this class, how many people, she said, I pull in my driveway and there are people out at my gate, they are waiting because they want me to pray for them. And she said, I have no idea how the people know that I'm a Christian and I'm a believer. But people are coming up asking me to pray for them and asking me to pray for their family members. And she says, I see that as part of my calling because she had gone on mission trips overseas to Nicaragua. And she had, that was such an amazing experience for her, going over there and working in the health center for the local people and just ministering the word of God in their lives. And right here in her own hometown in Danbury, Connecticut, people are coming to her and asking, would you please pray for me? And she said that I would not have received this if I was not in this class. Oh, thank you, Coach K. Coach K said, you have an anointing on your life that you can't deny. And, that is so powerful and so true, my brother, because a lot of times we tend to be running from our God-ordained purpose. But we just can't run from who we are. One of the things I used to tell my son is that you can't run from yourself because everywhere you go, you are there with you. So you always need to focus on the right things and touching people. But, you know, each of us, we have been gifted and God created a problem even before that sperm fertilized. And he knew that he was going to create us to solve this problem. And that's why we are here in this world. Each and every one of us, we are unique. It does not matter who is doing what you are doing. There is no one who can do it like you do it. And that's what I focus on, helping people to understand. And Coach K, I know you can also chime in here as well, is that when you are touching lives and making a difference, you wake up dancing, singing, shouting, you're happy. You are just excited to see the rising of the sun another day. Quite unlike people who are in their jobs and they had a long weekend off, and Monday over the water cooler, they are asking, oh, when is Friday? Because Friday is when they get the paycheck, and that's the only reason why they are there, to wait for the paycheck. So the one thing I'm telling the listeners, whether you're in the chat room now or you're listening or later on, you will listen on demand, I'm going to ask you to do a self-inventory. Check into yourself. And if any of what I've just said that is part of you, reassess why you are doing what you do. Because it is important. Because it will come a time when the money will never, ever be enough, regardless of what amount of money you're making. It will never be enough. And I want to take this time to welcome my friend, Sister Cece, out of Georgia. Thank you, Cece. And I think I know you always visit the blogs and everything. So I'm here spending, I have the next 45 minutes with you, because Lorna has an emergency she ran off to take care of with family. and she is not with us. So I decided to stay on for the next hour for people like you, my sister. I know I can always depend on you for joining in. And I wanted to just spend this time in conversation, addressing and developing a list of some of the challenges and issues that we are faced as entrepreneurs, small business owner. And in the upcoming episodes, I want to invite different experts in those areas to address them. So the one thing, Cece, that's on the list is social media. And you can tell what your list is, and we'll write them down, and I'll do my best to address them. And Cece, I know you were on when we had the Jackrabbit lady on, Leslie Householder, and she has agreed to be back on the 19th of August. So you are going to have a great time with her. Okay, what is one thing in life before you die? What is one thing in life before you die? Coach K wants me to ask that question. You can call in on the phone with an answer. You can type it in the chat room. So Coach K from the chat room wants me to pose the question. What is one thing in life before you die? So that question is out there for listeners to call. And and we will hear what that answer is. I hope that was for everyone and not only for the people in the chat room having a good time. So what is one thing you want in life before you die? Okay, so we just canceled the first question. It was a typo. What is one thing you want in life before you die? Okay. All right. He said he was multitasking. So, Coach K, you know that multitasking eats up valuable brain cells. So, hey, we wanted to reserve those brain cells, my brother. Don't have them all eaten up. So the question is, for you listeners, what is one thing you want in life before you die? And you can call in. The number is 646-915-8166. Question, what is one thing you want in life before you die? So call in and let us hear that, and or type it. If you're in the chat room, type your answer to that question, and then I will read it out. So, well, I guess since no one has called yet, I'm still going to wait to hear the callers. But I want to say that the one thing that I want in life before I die is to transform as many lives globally as God will allow me to do, especially with having the advantage of the blog radio. So, as you know, my focus is to change our world by transforming one life at a time, because I know I need to be the change that I'm looking for. So before I die, I want to be able to transform millions of lives before I check out of here. And when I am gone, I want to be known as the woman who made a difference in the world by transforming lives. I am also an ambassador for world peace. And I would also like to be known as the woman who knows that war would not solve the world's problem. However, love, respect, and appreciation throughout our world is what will make a difference. Because when we start looking at each other as our brothers and our sisters, then we'll know that we cannot put a bullet in their heads or any part of their bodies. But we know that's my sister over there, regardless of the country they live in, regardless of the place that they worship in. That's my sister, that's my brother, and I love them. And that's what's going to make the difference in our world. So, Coach K, that was my little bit of contribution. And while we're waiting and all the other people to call in, what would you like? What one thing would you like, Coach K, before you die? And Cece, I want to ask you the question as well. What's your one thing that you want before you die? So for the people who just joined listening, there was a question posed by Coach K in the chat room about what is one thing you want in life before you die? And for each and every one of us, that something is different. So I'm waiting to hear Coach K's one thing, and I'm waiting to hear CC's one thing, and any other person who would like to call in. The telephone number to call is 646-915-8166. So just call and tell us what is your one thing. And guest 427, welcome. And Lorna is not here, so we are in dialogue in this episode for another 33 minutes. And I'm just talking about some of the issues that we are all facing in our entrepreneurial lives, nonprofit lives or small business lives. And I'm working on developing a list of these issues, and I want to invite experts in the different areas to address them in the upcoming episodes. So the one thing, guest 427, that is on the list already is social media. So whatever it is that you would like to contribute to the list, you can either call the phone number or you can type it in. Also, Coach K from the chat room posed a question for us about what is one thing you want in life before you die? So for each and every one of us, there is something. So what is your one thing? Guest 427, you can type. What is your one thing that you want in life before you die? So if you are just joining, you are listening to the A New Day show, and you are under the sound of the voice of Daphne Clark Hudson, the queen of the empowered soul, and I'm filling the slot for my guest who had an emergency and could not be spending the time with us this morning. But I'm here with some wonderful supporters of the A New Day show. And Coach K, his one thing, to see my children grow up, get married, and make me a grandfather. Oh, how sweet it is, my brother. You know, and I'm so glad that you place it in priority. They need to grow up, they need to get married, and make me a proud grandfather. And I am sure, I'm going out on the limb here to say, you probably had this conversation with them before, but I want to ask you a question. in here, is there anywhere in here that they needed to have a career prior to getting married and all of that and having children? I don't know. Oh, yes. He says, yes, in that order. So, all right, so if the kids are going to listen to this, I guess they don't think that they need to finish college before they get married. It's okay with daddy to grow up, get married, and start have some children. But, you know, Coach K, you probably just twist my finger if I was in your presence with what I'm going to say now. The kids probably have it in a different order. They're going to graduate high school. They're going to go to college, and then they're going to come back, get married, and then think about making you a grandfather. So, hey, my recommendation to you is to take excellent care of yourself, my brother, so you can be here for the long haul. So whether or not their priority is your priority, you'll still be around grandpapa to enjoy it and to be a proud grandfather. So just take care of yourself so you can be around, so you won't get this disheartened if it does not happen in your time frame and in your priority order. But thank you so much for sharing that with us again. So I want to hear from the other people in the chat room. What is one thing you want in life before you die? Oh, my heavens, I'm laughing because he says, oh, he's in agreement with what I'm saying. I am the proper weight now. Proper weight he's at now. Okay, man, know that fitness is not only has to do with weight, you know. I mean, weight is part of it, but you got some people with lot of pounds that is in better health than people who are skinny. So health to me is total physical and mental view of life, you know. I did what I had to get there. Oh, my heavens. Oh, congratulations. You lost 12 pounds in more than the doctor asked. Oh, wonderful. Oh, that is a blessing. And that is an encouragement, Coach K, to a lot of people, because we know that our world is plagued with obesity, and a lot of people pack the pounds on, and they can't get it off. Yesterday, I was at Six Flags New England. You all know that I coordinate a French cultural exchange program, so I took the students yesterday to Six Flags New England for the day, and all I do when I go to the amusement park, I sit and I people watch and I read and I sleep and I wake up and I read and I people watch and I sleep. And I was looking as people go by, and I said, you know, how sad it is that we allow ourselves to really get out of hand. And there is so much support that we all can receive to do the healthy things that we want to do. You know, Coach K say he got focused. And that's important, because in life, whatever is going to be is up to us. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what it is that we want out of life. Because people who are on a mission and people who are looking to create legacies in this life, we have to understand what it is about taking care of ourselves. And know that taking care of yourself is not a selfish act. But if you are not in a position to take care of who you are and to be just in the greatest health that you deserve, then you're not in a position to serve anybody else. So getting focus is very, very, very important. Because unless you get focus, it is like taking care of an addiction or something. It doesn't matter how your family is going to treat you, talk down to you about it and everything, until you make your mind up that this is good for me, there's nothing that's going to happen. So you have to take the first step. So again, I want to applaud Coach K for taking off 12 pounds. And I just know that he is determined and that he is going to keep it off. So thank you again for sharing that. So, Miss Sister CC, what is your one thing that you would like to achieve before you die? And while we are waiting on your reply, CC, I want to just encourage my listeners, whether you're listening live or on demand, please, I am beseeching you to visit my show page. Go to my comments section. There's a little box there where you can type something. Let me know what you would like to see on the show, who you would like, if you have some special people you want to hear from, because I am here to serve you. I'm here to help you grow and expand in the things that you're doing. I'm here to add value to you. So unless I hear from you, then I will not know what your needs are in life. So just let me know that, and I'm still working on the list. The one thing on the list here is social media. I know this morning Paul Lawrence Vann, he's the guest of the Wealthy Speaker Show, and Paul did an amazing job in giving us the basics around setting up or establishing a nonprofit. Because everybody say, oh, we want to do a nonprofit, but a lot of people don't really understand the importance of the things that you need to do prior to, and the process after you set up the organization, the process that you need to follow. And that's why, because people are short-sighted on all the things that they need to do. This is why so often that you hear of nonprofit organization who falls into trouble around money, 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 money. So if we're going to do it, let us do it the right way and serve the people, because that's why we get into business, to serve the people. So if you're going to do a nonprofit organization, remember, go back and listen if you did not hear the conversation with Paul and myself. Go back and listen to the conversation we had, and he just laid out there clear and simple about the things that we need to do to set up our nonprofit organization, about choosing the board of directors and all of that. Okay, yes, Coach K was saying to check Paul's book out, Living on Higher Ground. Yes, that's a great book. That's a great book as well. So, you know, and he has a very successful nonprofit. And you know what my take is? If there is someone who already knows how to do the thing and they do it with great result, I should not have to go repeat it. What they say, why reinvent the wheel? If there's someone that can help you to expedite the process, utilize that, because this way you will not be pulling out your hair and, you know, and just losing sleep and elevating your blood pressure. There, you sit with somebody, you'll understand what it is about, and you can just get it done. I want to also remind you that in my career as a life and personal development coach, I am in the process of offering free one coaching session, because a lot of people have never worked with a life coach. They have no idea what we do. So you can call me at 203-546-8210, and I will set up with you for you to get a free coaching intake. There is no charge for that initial intake. However, if you are happy with what you got from that and you would like to engage my services as your personal coach, we can discuss that afterwards. But I think everybody ought to call to get a free coaching session so you can get a feel of what it is to work with a coach. You know, all the great athletes have coaches, and yet we as individuals, we think it is not important. What coaches does, they help you to stretch, and they give you an objective sounding board. So call me up, 203-546-8210, and you can get a free coaching session. Also, you can visit my website at www.clarkehudson.com. And you can kind of get a little idea about some of the other things that I do or doing. And we are working, because you heard me mention about diversifying and reinventing what I do. So I'm in the process of doing that now. But it still gives you an idea of the things I do. So give me a call, and you can always reach me by email as well, daphne@clarkehudson.com. And, you know, the Blog Talk Radio Show, I'm here. If you're local in St. Louis, Missouri, Bridgeport, Connecticut, the greater Charter area, the greater new Comcast area, you can, on Comcast, you can watch my cable TV show, which is also A New Day, on Mondays at 7 p.m. and on Thursdays at 11. On Charter, we are on Saturdays at 7 p.m. and on Thursdays at noon. On Soundview in Bridgeport, we are on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. And out in St. Louis, Missouri, on KDHX-TV, we are on Thursday evening and Tuesday evening. So we are looking to be in your town as well. So if you are listening and would like to have the A New Day cable show in your city or town, please contact me and I will tell you how we can get that there. The one thing I can tell you right now is that it doesn't cost you any money. And Miss CC, I would love to be down there in Georgia. So let us connect on that. And Coach Kate would be a good thing, too, to be up in your neck of the woods. I think you're in Westchester. So, yes, we have another 20 minutes. And, you know, if you're wondering what happened to Lorna Owens, Lorna had to attend to a family emergency. And therefore, I decide to remain in dialogue here to fill the rest of the time. You know, I am so appreciative of all my friends I think she's sleeping too. Yes, we waiting to hear from Cece. That one thing, she's either cooking in the kitchen. She's probably cooking some chitlins and black eyed peas or something. So I'm just so thankful of all my listeners and viewers for your support in this show. And, you know, my growth and success is dependent on you. I want for you to tell me what you would like to see the show do for you. And we are going to do our best to get some experts. I'm telling you, you are going to be so excited when you learn of the lineup of guests that we have. I have some powerful brothers and sisters who are lined up for the episodes that are coming. And I tell you something, you just got to keep watching the blog. As soon as I confirm each and every one of them, I'm going to do a posting, because you're going to want to pull your Palm Pilot out, your date book, your BlackBerry, everything. And you're going to want to plug these guests in, because you are not going to want to miss any of the various episodes. The one thing I can tell you right now is that Leslie Householder will be back on August the 19th, and I got a surprise for you. She will be the only guest on that day, because last week when she was on, we had some technical difficulties and lost her, and she was not able to take questions from the chat room because we had lost the chat room and everything. And I know the chat room was bursting at its seam with questions, and they didn't get that opportunity. So Leslie has graciously agreed to be back on the show on the 19th of August, and that in itself is a treat. Okay, guest 485, I want to welcome you. And the posing question is, one thing you want before you die, and you can either call in to say it live at 646-915-8155, or you can please type it in the chat room, and I will read what it is you are looking for. And that question was posed by Coach K, and what Coach K wants, the one thing Coach K wants in life before he dies, is to have his children grow up, get married, and make him a proud granddaddy. And he did not say how many kids, but he just wants to be a proud grandpapa. So, guest 485, you can just tell us, what is your one thing that you would like in life before you die? So, and I think somebody need to just knock a skeleton by Cece's ear, because I think the sister fell asleep. We have not heard anything from her in a few minutes, and we know that's not like Cece. So I just pray she's not multitasking. However, again, I greatly appreciate I greatly appreciate each and every one of you, and for the light and energy that you have brought to the A New Day show. So again, the question posed by Coach K is, one thing you want before you die. So let us hear from you, guest 485. Type what your one thing is, and so we can just share. I had shared earlier on that the one thing I want before I die is to be able to to transform and impact thousands of lives across the world before I die. And I had an addition to that, that in my capacity as an ambassador for peace, I want the world to understand that regardless of the country we live in, the places of worship that we go, we are all each other's brothers and sisters. And until we start loving on each other, we would never experience peace, because gun to our heads and bullets is not going to bring peace. It is in the love that we demonstrate for each other. And, you know, I love dearly our troops who sacrifice for us every day. But, you know, I pray each and every day that God will help people to understand that it is in displaying the love and the acceptance of each other that we are going to experience peace. And, of course, that is my personal opinion, and I'm doing what I can to bring that about. You may agree or disagree with me, and we are each entitled to our own opinion. But that's mine, and I don't want to shy away from that. That's what I feel. I'll keep doing my part to get this to happen. So if you do your part and I do my part, and then we will get what we want. Yes, Coach K says, praise God for our troops. Bring them home safe and sound. And that's all we can pray for, because there are too many families, too many young children, too many spouses that are losing loved ones. And we just ask God to miraculously in some way get people to understand that we can do better than we are doing. And so long as we have a world that believes in him and know that he can still work miracles, we're still going to be keep going down the wrong path that we are going. So all we can do is keep praying. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. We have 12 minutes remaining. And I'm still looking to hear from CC and guest 485. What is your one thing you want in life before you die? And Coach K, I thank you for posing that question. And, you know, we all got to keep focus on the different things that makes us who we are. Make us who we are. Because we have so many different parts, and you know, we need to know what get them all kicking and ticking, you know. I was saying to somebody a couple of weeks ago that, you know, it never ceases to amaze me how much attention we pay on our cars and everything like that, yet when it comes to who we are, we tend to take shortcuts with that. You know, we don't concentrate on our health. We don't concentrate on our nutrition, our spiritual priority. We don't take any care about that. We just treat our bodies with such disrespect, you know. And we have to just understand that God gave us this temple, and we got to take care of it. Because it's even for those people who are blessed to get extra parts, true transplant, it still takes a long time to manifest and come true. So what we need to do as a people is take care of this temple that we already have here. Again, I'm still looking for response from what is the one thing you want in life before you die? And if you're in the chat room and you want to contribute to that, we have 10 minutes remaining on this show. And keep watching the blog to find out who our next guest is. And for the person who wanted another guest on social media, I already had Sean Robinson on speaking about Twitter. So you can listen to that, but I'm going to find somebody else to speak on the topic of social media and how social media can help us to expand and develop in our business. So thank you for that one. We'll be looking. I know the lineup of guests that I have is a powerful one, and they are only going to be adding value to what we do. And so long as we put into practice all the things that they are telling us, we will be experiencing prosperity and growth. We will be expanding not only locally, but globally. But we have to position ourselves for these things to happen. Again, I want to encourage you to mark my show favorite and leave me a comment so I can know what it is that we need to do in order to serve you better. Because we are here to serve you. Because if it was not for you, there would be no A New Day show. So it's all about you. If it is to be, it's going to be about you. So we want to serve you in the best way that we can here. And each week we come on, we want to make sure that the segments offer you value. It serves your need. It solves some problem that is in your life. So I want to always encourage people that you know that you do not have to settle for mediocrity in life, because each and every one of us, we are so created for excellence. You know, one writer says, attitude is the creation of success, but you can't buy an attitude for $1 million. Attitudes are not for sale. You know, so it simply means you got to create the attitude you want. It doesn't matter how much of a scholar you are, you still have to create the attitude to get the result you want. Another author says, there is little difference in people, but that little difference makes a big difference. The little difference is attitude. The big difference, whether it is positive or negative. I think I need to read this again. There is little difference in people, but that little difference makes a big difference. The little difference is attitude. The big difference is whether it is positive or negative. And that is the truth. You know, I know this lady, and she always says, you know, every time I see that person, and she was pointing to this particular individual that we used to work with, she said, you know, he always have a stinking attitude. And we got to watch it, you know. We all have to sit in front of the mirror, and we need to look, and we need to say, well, do I like what's looking back at me? You know, do you? Because if you sure don't like it, nobody else is going to like it. I want to share another quote from Charles Knight. And it says, anybody who accepts mediocrity in school, on the job, in life, is a person who compromises And when the leader compromises, the whole organization compromises. So as small business owners and as entrepreneurs, as a director or a founder of a nonprofit, this is very important. If you as the leader accepts mediocrity, then the rest of your organization will be doing the same thing. And you're going to find out that this thing is going to start snowballing. The further it runs down the hill, the bigger the snowball is going to be. Great things are not done by impulse, but by a series of small things brought together. You know, yes, Coach K says, a crappy attitude makes the mark of a person who is in need of a hug. You know, it's amazing that you type that, because when I do my events, at the end of my events, I'll stand at the front of the room, and people who visit my events regularly, they know I'm a hugger. I don't get into people's space. However, I am standing at the front of the room, and for those who know me, they come up and they grab me. And once they grab me, I know they're looking for a hug, and I embrace them in return. So that's a powerful statement. Abraham Lincoln says, I do the very best I know how, the very best I can, and I mean to keep on doing so until the end. And I think that this ought to be our motto as well. I also want to remind each and every one to know that you have a destiny. I look forward to seeing you on the show again. Thank you for your investment in the A New Day show and in my progress and my success. This is Dynamic Daphne, the queen of the empowered soul, and your host for the A New Day show, saying, so long, follow your destiny, and never let anyone get you off track. Love you all. Stay blessed.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
Grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you. for showing me, and directing me, hallelujah, to my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord, thank you for showing me, hallelujah, and directing me. Speak to it, my destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this plan. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this plan. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way.